When we closed on Good Friday, the theme was thanks to Calvary. We closed with the lyrics, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary. It's the old Sunday night song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And that's what we said in our heart as we walked away and said, thanks to Calvary. Today, the mood's a little bit different. It was sad when they were walking away, wiping their hands. 5,000 of them had the food. Hundreds of them there were along the route there on Palm Sunday. But there was only one standing at the cross. And, well, let's talk about today. Our friend and our mentor, John Hagee, says it this way. The most exciting news the world has ever heard came out of a cemetery. Isn't that a good word? He has risen. That's exciting news right there. One of the Scottish pastor of many, many years ago said this, though. Resurrection morning was hell's gloomiest day. Don't you like that? Don't you like that? Oh, man, we didn't get him, did we? That is a great, great word. Today, this is a continuance of the Good Friday word. And by the way, I'm continuing also in my writing. I said something to you about it, but I'll tell you a little bit more. I have a personal proclivity that I like to do when I do my notes, and that has to do with personal pronouns. You know, there's a lot going on right now about personal pronouns and what they want to be called. You understand that? I heard the story the other day of a man who followed a little girl into a restroom because he pronounced himself as a female. And I also heard how he got two teeth knocked out by her dad, who said that he was the tooth fairy too. And how many of you know? How many of you know that happens that way? Well, call yourself what you want to call. We have an old pastor friend of ours that's in glory right now, but he was a character, and that one of these young preachers had been gone for a while, and he had gone somewhere, and he came back, and we've known him all of his life, but he was somebody different now, and you had to call him a certain thing, and he went in, and he said, and he was a young, much younger man, 40 years younger than the man he's addressing. He said, you will now call me. He said, I am a bishop. I want you to call me a bishop. He said, man, I don't care. I'll call you Donald Duck if you want me to. He said, I just want to be your friend. Well, personal pronouns. So when I go through the scriptures and most all the translations, when it talks about Jesus, him or his or thing, anything like that, I take the time and I do it in the mindset of when the transcribers would write his name, that they would treat it. And you can just see it. I've got it right here. Every time I capitalize the he, the his, the him, and I don't do it for anybody but me. But it means a lot to me, especially on this weekend. And I wrote there, I'm still doing that, especially when I have the first line, he is risen. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, you know, I talked about her on Good Friday, they came to the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Let's stop right there for just a real minute right there. When you sat on it, every one of you have gone to a concert, or every one of you have brought a ladder with you along a parade route or a chair at a ball game somewhere. And what did you do to make sure nobody got that spot? You sat right there on it. You said there are people throughout history that went to a piece of land that was there and they sat on it. It is there. That means this is mine. That speaks this is my place. I own this spot. So the angel walked and he rolled that stone away. This is mine. It's rolled away. Nobody can touch it right now. That was owner. That was attitude right there. I mean, also too, he wasn't afraid. He sat on it. He sat there, and I just want to encourage you right now, put your weight down in resurrection today. Put your weight down in resurrection and be encouraged today in Jesus' name. And he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook of fear for him. They became like dead men. They said, do you believe that when people are prayed for, sometimes they fall? Yeah, I believe that. It's happened to me a few times that I've prayed for somebody and that has happened there. And that is a sovereign thing. I don't believe, though, in an orchestration of it for the pageantry there. In fact, most of the time when you read the scripture and you see that phenomenon, it is people that God had to get their attention, or they were in rebellion, or he had to stop them, whether it's these guys right here or whether it was Paul walking down the road and God had to knock him down to get his attention. But it's happened to me. It's not, it's real, it happens, but it should not be a a doctrinal point of agreement, disagreement, or even expectation. Is that just a little extra teaching spot right there? We'll do that right now. He said, like dead men. And I thought this was kind of strange. Verse 5 said, but the angel answered. Now, they had not asked anything. But it said the angel answered. And I sat there for a while. And do you know what I wrote in the margin? Their faces must have been asking questions. Their faces must have been, how many of you ever said to somebody, I can see, but I know what you're thinking right now. Well, that's what happened right here. The angel said, I know what you girls are thinking right now. Yeah, and he's just sitting there picking his teeth, man. He's relaxing, sitting there on the bench. I know what y'all are thinking. They hadn't asked a word, but he answered. And he said to the woman, do not be afraid. Isn't that throughout scriptures, things that just blow your mind. First thing God says to his people, don't be afraid. First thing Jesus says when he comes through the wall, don't be afraid. First thing an angel says with an empty tomb, don't be afraid. You getting the message? Don't be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus. Boy, don't you want heaven to know that about you? Don't you want heaven to know that you seek Jesus? I know you seek Jesus. He's not here. He's risen. And this amplifies what Linda said. And he's come back. He's risen as he said. Come here, girls. Come here. I don't think it was harsh. I think it was, come here. Come. I want you to see the place where he laid. Boy, I wish we had time to go into the picture, what they saw inside there. I wish we had time to go into the concept of everything folded in its place, showing that was the signifying what that actually meant. There's a whole message on that right there. But for the sake of time, even the symbolism of the way it was folded and the symbolism, everything is done. Thank you very much. The meal is done. It was beautiful. Here's what he said in verse 7. Now, I want you to go quickly. Go quickly. Tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Indeed, he's already on the road. He's going before you, and there you will see him. And I love this. Notice this word, behold. Behold, I have told you. So they went quickly from the tomb. They went with fear and with great joy. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It was like, this is really cool. I love it, but I'm scared to death, you know. I don't know what to do right now. And they ran to bring the word to his disciples. Someone once said once, have you ever been to a sunrise service? We used to do that, but we'd go out and freeze out on the lakefront trying to sing, Christ the Lord is risen today out there, and it'd be hot today. But I remember those pictures as a little kid and the wind blowing the Mardi Gras fountain hitting you across the face, you know, things like that. Somebody said it would be this. Our sunrise service would be more authentic if we just had women attend the sunrise service and later bring the men the news about the meeting. That would be more biblical. Make the women go to sunrise service and then come back and tell the men, here's what we did. Here's what. Now, you want to do biblical? Women only at the Easter sunrise service. You could tell Amos that right now. But here's what we need to know. This thing really happened. There are too many natural proofs. There's too many historical proofs. There's too many things. Christ is risen and faith is a reality. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, moreover, brethren, he said, I declare this to you. I declare the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast to the word that I have preached to you, unless you've believed in vain. In other words, if your faith wasn't really true, other it was a show, it was a religious show, then that's not what Easter is about. He said, for I delivered to you first all that I received. What did Paul deliver? Number one, that Christ died for our sins. Now, that is the focus of Easter. In all your singing, remember this. Christ died for our sins. That's the first thing Paul had to say about it. He died for our sins according to scriptures. Notice, by the way, you're not going to get revelations that aren't in the scripture. You're not going to get truth that are not in the scriptures. And that he was buried, point two. Point three, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That he was seen by Cephas, one of the priests. He was seen then by the 12. Now, you may not even know this is in the Bible. How do you know he really? And he said, and after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren. Didn't count the sisterin. Didn't count the children. Seen by 500. The risen Savior. You know there's got to be one out of that group that says, no, this was a joke. This is not true. This was a magic trick. No, it was not. They were seen by 500 brethren at once, of whom greater part they even remain present today. He said, some of them are dead. Now they've fallen asleep. Now here is the hook line of the whole thing. Now remember Paul's story. He's breathing threats, slaughters. He's not going to serve anybody. That was a fraud. That was a magic trick. That was a figment of somebody's imagination. And he said, after that, he was seen by James, his brother, then all the apostles. And notice this last line. Then last of all, he was seen by me also. Paul saw the risen Jesus. Paul saw the risen Jesus. It really happened. And from then on, and everyone who saw him, from then on, things would never be the same again. I would say it this way. Their normal lives had changed forever. This is how it goes. See, events happen to us in our lives and things change. Whether it's a passage in our life, whether it's the end of a school thing, whether it's a job or the end of a job, whether it is a marriage, whether it is a sad ending to a marriage, whether it is a death, whether it is a tragedy, whether it is an illness that befalls us, something that we go through, these things change us and normal is not the same again. It just doesn't feel right. For over 2 years in our lives, we've been asking ourselves, when will we get back to normal? See, when normal is tampered with, some of you are real pristine about your house, and you go back, and if something is out of place there, it bugs you to death. It bugs you to death. Others of you, it just doesn't matter. Thank God for us. You ever seen those people that had to be exactly the same way? You've seen those movies of... Who's the little detective little fella? Everything had to be, Monk. Everything had to be just right. I mean, the crease had to be the same, the thing, and he was just like that. And it's hilarious to see there. But how many of you know we're all at a point when our normal is messed up, it's just not right. It doesn't feel good. You think everything's okay, but lose your internet for a day, you'll go nuts. Lose your power for a day, you'll go nuts. We got home Friday afternoon. I had the rest of the night off. One of my hobbies, and she allows me to do. I have the baseball channels, and I have that screen where I can see 8 games at one time on my DirecTV, and that is like that's God. I mean that I can see the Yankees. Tyler can see the Braves. You know, and Linda likes the LA teams, and we can watch all of those same. And the Yankee. Oh, I want to be buried at Yankee Stadium. I mean, really, come on. I came home and it was about late afternoon. We had a nice lunch and everything. We had the rest of the night, so people had to come over for something. And I turned the TV on. I go to my little 8 channel there, that one channel there, and it was out. It wasn't there. My normal had been messed with, and I didn't like that. We got people coming over in 1 hour. I grabbed them. What are you doing? I'm calling DirecTV right now. I'm calling them right now. I paid. I want to see. I don't care what's on. I'll watch the Twins and the Astros. Just anything. Just put it on right there. I gotta have. So anyway, I get on the phone. The little lady talks to me, and by the way she speaks, I know she's not from Metairie. All right. And I'm trying to explain this is not working there. And she said, I can't do this. I'll give you to somebody else. So they give me to somebody else. And while I'm talking to her, all of a sudden she said, hold on. And she hit the wrong button. I'm off. All right. And I go, oh, my goodness. My goodness. Linda, why don't you wait? I said, I can't wait. I got to do this right now. My normal had been messed with. So I get on the phone again, and I get another. I wait for a while. I press all the prompts. How many of you scream at the prompts, brother? You scream, operator. Yeah, and you do it. And volume has nothing to do with it. But, and I'm this is the same person who is standing before you 4 hours before, speaking to you about the sorrow of Good Friday and how we should keep this in our heart all weekend. And I want to kill DirecTV people right there the same afternoon. So finally I get this guy on, and he said, hello? I said, who's he? He said, this is Jack. I went, yeah, okay, all right. Hey, Jack, how are you? He said, yeah, like Jack in the Box. I said, okay, great. I said, Jack, I need your help. No worries, he says. You know, I know he's reading the script. I know they're reading the script because after every phrase, they use your name. No worries, Michael. Okay, and we'll okay, Michael. We will do. I said you don't have to call my name every time. Just let's just go through the deal and we'll do it. Oh, I can fix this real quick, Michael. I said okay, fix it then. And in about 30 seconds, it was on. I said Jack, I love you. You are the best, man. Did I tell him that? I said Jack, you are the best. I love you today. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord. Did I say that to him? The Lord. Gracious and grant you peace. I had based normal had returned. Is that true? I'll work on yours today. All right, I'll be over there. I'll be over at 3. Oh yeah. When normal is tampered with, it's disconcerting. When normal is tampered with in our natural, especially the last 2 years, the fear of the unknown, the fear about tomorrow, it is very real, it is very cruel, it's demonic right there. When our normal is tampered with, we are fearful. We are still right now living in that demonic twilight zone where 10 days have turned into 2 years. Now, you must understand, somewhere along the way, the realization came to all of us at different times, normal's not coming back. Don't misquote me. I'm not denying what was real. But you need to know that the powers that be, it was never their intention for normal to come back. Initially, it was very real, and it is real, but hell saw an opportunity. It was hijacked as a vehicle of control, indoctrination, engineered shortage. You better have some food in your house, by the way, because they're planning shortages. It's not that we have enough for everybody, but the shortage has been planned and engineered. It's been done. You think? Remember when they poured all that milk out and all that grain and threw it away intentionally in America, and they did that. That's all engineered. The intentional destruction of the conventional God-ordained family unit. The intentional destruction of the God-giving genders. Don't tell me you believe in the science if you have a problem with the X and the Y chromosomes. There's only two things there. There's only two things there. But it was intentional not to go back to the free flow of speech. And where this really goes, the free flow of preaching the gospel message. We can preach any other thing. We can teach it to our kids in any other school right now. And by the way, while this was going, and you said, man, things are going crazy right now. Every nefarious thing hell could vomit up came at us, and we watched it. Were you in school those years where you went to the school nurse and you had a headache, and she wouldn't give you an aspirin until she called your mama on the phone? Now if you're 8-year-old and Johnny wants to become Jane, he can go to the school nurse, and they can help it, and they won't even tell you about it. That's demonic. That is against the normal that God said. Consequently, today we're facing new diseases, heart attacks. We're finding speech impediments on little children right now because they've not been able to model, and they learn how to talk by watching to how sounds are formed. They've not learned social cues because they've not been able to learn reaction in faces there. And these are things that have gone on. And those who are not well must be protected. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. We must go out of our way to protect them, but it has nothing to do with our other freedom. Going on in our world. Damaged psyches, the anxiety. We're watching a singing show the other night, and I'm seeing teenager kids, and one after another, they're telling about their anxiety. You know, we've all got things we go through, but it's fashionable now to have anxiety. It's fashionable now to have these things, and I'm thinking, you know, you just need some of the word. You quit listening to some of that depressing music there. It's all dead. I'm all sad. You know, they left me, and I don't fit in nowhere. No, let me tell you something. I can tell you about not fitting in. Be a church kid. Families now, they've been lost. We've lost sense of community. Many people and businesses, ask the small businessman in America, the financial ruin right now. The question is how we will survive. Our normal has been tampered with it. But what you need to know, this is not the first time this has happened. This is the same trick. Because at the beginning, in God's original creation, since God's original creation, man and creation has always been under attack. To dominate, to beat down, to control, to destroy. And can I just say something to you today? Don't look at a person. Paul said we fight principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the attacker always remains the same. And this attacker, if he takes over, will try to destroy your soul and in the meantime separate us from God. The attack, the insidious attack, is the power of sin on our lives. See, we were born with a nature. We call it the Adamic nature. And what resulted in the Adamic nature meant that I would die. And when I died, I would be eternally separated from God. And that was our normal life sentence. That was your normal. Your normal was to live your life and to die in your sin and to be separated from God. But thanks to Easter, normal is not coming back. Thanks to Easter, because on that third day, things changed thanks to Easter. It was a new day, a new hope, a new normal thanks to Easter. Never again does death have the final word. Never again does sin have dominion. Never again does despair bring defeat. Never again will we fear to be alone. Never again would we have to die in our sins thanks to Easter. That normal is not coming back. That was sinful normal. That was Adamic nature normal. That's not coming back. And by the way, I said never again, never again. Aren't you glad? Thanks to Easter, we have loads of never again promises. We have loads of never again promises. Never again. Never again do we have to be fearful we'll be separated from God. Never again do we have to fear the power of death. Never again. Normal's not coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Normal's not coming back. Jesus is coming back. I speak that to you on a Resurrection Sunday right now. What did he do for us in this new normal? Now, do you know that when that stone was rolled away and that big old bad angel sat on that thing, do you know what happened when he saved us? Vadi Bachman, he's got some really terrific books out there. He's a pastor. You ought to look up some of his books right now. It's terrific. He wrote this about what happened when the old normal was broken on Easter Sunday. Here's what he said. We are not only saved from the penalty. Say penalty. We're not only saved from the penalty of sin. We're not just saved from the power. Say power. The power of sin. But it says because of Easter, but one day we'll be glorified. We will be saved from the very presence of sin. We'll be lifted out of the old normal and moved into a new era, a new creation, or as the scripture translation says, a species of being that has never existed before. Thanks to Easter, normal's not coming back. Normal's not coming back. For over 2 years, we keep asking each other, when will we get back to normal? But more important, for over 2,000 years, hell has been shouting, when will we be getting back to normal? Hell wants to know, when can we go back to normal? When will the whole be back to normal? Hell's been screaming the same thing for 2,000 years, to sin and death having the final hold. When will we get? Never. You want a glimpse of your new normal? I'm giving it to you. You ready? This is your Easter Sunday good word. You've never had this for Easter Sunday. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. That's the end of the book. Went and helped us in Revelation already. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, he said, grace to you, peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who were before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of this earth. He's already established the object of our message right now. And here's what he says about him. To him. To him. And I put a capital H right there. To him who loved us, washed us from our sins with his, I capitalized the H there, with his own blood, and made us kings, made us priests to his God and Father. To him, capital H, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And he said, there's more. You want a retirement program? You want a retirement program? Easter gives you a retirement program. Behold, he, capital H, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see, capital H, him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him, even so, amen. And do you know what his voice comes out of heaven and says this? I am the Alpha. I'm the new normal, kids. I'm the new sheriff in town. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Who is? That who is deals with your present, okay? Who is deals with your present. Who was? That deals with my past. You got it? And who is to come deals with my future, because I know you. This is really good. I wish your faces were with me right now. He said, who was past, but who is to come. Life is worth the living. And this picture, you remember when the girls saw the angel, what it did to them? Well, here's what John writes in verse 17. He said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. His presence will do that. You know, I've said it many times over the years. You ever seen these arrogant people? Well, I'll tell you what, when I die, I'm going to walk right up to God and I'm going to ask him this. No, you're not. You're going to walk into God's presence and you're going to hit the ground. You're going to hit the ground. You're going to hit the ground. You won't speak until he lets you speak, because you won't be able to form a word there. Some of you have met famous people and you just couldn't talk. You just couldn't talk. So we saw a video today, some old video the other day of some little girl that walked in and met Donny Osmond. She just started weeping like she was at the altar. I mean, just weeping. Just I saw people meet Elvis and they're just putty right there. They could. You're not going to tell God anything other than you are worthy is the Lamb. Word, that's the only thing you'd be able to form with your mouth. Worthy is. Learn how to say it, because you'll say it forever. Worthy is the Lamb. Say it, and you won't be able. When I saw him, I was in such awe. He was stunned. He was beholding him. Remember the word behold in a minute. And he laid his right hand on me, and he said to me, here he goes. Do not be afraid. That's an Easter message for you. I'm the first. I'm the first man. I'm the first. I'm the last. I am he who lives. Notice this next line. And was dead. That's me. Behold, I'm alive evermore. Amen. And I have the keys to death. I have the keys to death. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys to death in Hades. When we behold something, we're not just looking at it. I'm going to mention that in a few weeks. When we behold something, we're not just looking at it. There is a deep admiration. There is a study. There is an awe. There is a focus. You got it? So that's the thing you need to, that's your humanness that you need to develop. And you don't get that with a drive-by on Sunday. You don't get that with closing your eyes and hitting the Bible. This will be my verse for today. It's a systematic, what's the word saying? It's the time there. You develop these things. And because of that, because he says, I am he who lives, I am the one who was dead. Normal is not coming back, but Jesus is coming back. That's my message for you on Easter. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Normal will never be the same again, because normal will never hold you in the grave. Normal will never judge you in your sin. Normal would never leave you alone. My friend of many, many years, his name is Dick Bernal. He pastored for many years in California. Here's what he wrote about that. And he always did rhyming, fun things. Here's what he said about this weekend. He said, Palm Sunday, he was hailed. Good Friday, he was nailed. On Sunday morning, he bailed. And then he sailed on up to the throne. How many want to join that ride today? Normal's not coming back. So we celebrate. Back in the 1980s, we did a big musical production down at the Orpheum Theater. Full choir, full orchestra. Sold out the Orpheum all the way to the ceiling. And we opened up with one of the songs and we said, we are celebrating Resurrection Day. Jesus Christ is risen. He's no longer in the grave. Death gave way to victory as the stone was rolled away. We are celebrating Resurrection Day. And the hook line said, the sun has risen to shine forevermore. He walked right out of prison and opened every door. He conquered death forever as the stone was rolled away. We are celebrating Resurrection Day. Now, the difference between you and other people that are going through a historical celebration today is that you see further. You see deeper. You have a deeper revelation if you read this word and not just read the account of this day, because you know there's something greater. There's something greater. And death was broken. You were going to die in your sin, but that normal would never come back. So how do you treat this day as you walk out? Do you treat it just as a religious tradition, which most people do? Most people do. Do you treat it just as a historical commemoration? Some people do. Do you treat it just as appeasing an obligation? An obligation? Some people do. Here's how you handle this day in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit toward God. This is a pivotal time for our lives, not only here, but in the world to come. See, there's a deeper fullness. It's not about white shoes and bunnies. It's a deeper thing. It is he who is. Remember, who is, who was, and who is to come. It encompasses everything. this is not just a tradition. And I love traditions. There's a lot to be said about traditions. That I'm going to tell you something right now. When some of you started singing the old Rugged Cross the other day, it grabbed you and hit you in a place that hadn't been hit in a very long time. And religion wants to move you away from feeling those things of the need for God and the appreciation for but something stirred, and I don't mean just precious memories, how they linger. No, I'm talking about something, a message that hits you in the heart there. And there's something to be said about traditions. That's why sometimes I think we get too casual in our God. We should never forget. We should never forget who we worship, why we do this. And we get so casual that it's a joke. We're no better than the people who sold sacrifices outside of the temple. Wow. We do need the traditions, but a dead tradition will not get us to heaven. A dead tradition won't break the old normal. A dead tradition won't change our lives. Something on the outside will not change our inside. It's got to start on the inside right now. And this Easter needs to be celebrated not just as an event, but as a world-altering event. Writer Matt Smythurst wrote it this way: Easter is not a sweet religious tradition. That's what a lot of people think it is right now. But it's a celebration of a world-altering historical event that demands a decision. Wow. This is a world alter. Are you going to receive him today? Are you going to receive that resurrection spirit? I ask you to embrace the risen Savior. Thanks to Easter, we have a new normal. The old normal isn't coming back. Guys, let's give them the people something today. Let's give them something today. Come on down. I want to give you a little sticker. And the sticker says, normal isn't coming back. Jesus is. You can put this on your Bible. You can put it on your back windshield or something like that. Don't cut anybody off in traffic if you got Christian stuff on your back windshield there. And I just wanted just something you could take with you. Maybe you keep it in your Bible. Maybe you put it on your fridge. But I just want to give something you can take home today as a tangible word. Lord, I just thank you today because I know you hold the future. Life is worth the living because he lives. This is a word for you. Just take this with you. I wanted to put something in your hand. Thanks to Easter, we have a new normal. And the new normal is eternal. You got that? Look at Easter a little bit different than you ever have today. Let's all stand today. We just thank